This is Reset. I'm Jen White. After months of debate, a new law that aims to bring racial equity to housing in Cook County has officially gone into effect. The Just Housing Ordinance provides protections for people with arrest records by limiting how much landlords can ask about a potential tenant's criminal history. Supporters say the Just Housing Ordinance is a step toward ending housing discrimination, particularly against Black and brown people and those with disabilities. Meanwhile, opponents say it makes the renting process too complicated and puts unnecessary risk on property owners. Joining me now is Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson, the chief sponsor of the ordinance. Commissioner Johnson, welcome to Reset.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So first, remind us what the Just Housing Ordinance prohibits landlords from doing.
So it really provides an opportunity for families who have been marginalized because of their arrest records or their past encounter with the criminal system to have access to housing. And so what this ordinance does, it's actually a really big deal. As this sinks in a little bit more, I'm actually becoming far more appreciative of the bold transformational effort by the organizing around this ordinance. And really what it calls for is that individuals should have the opportunity to demonstrate that they can actually pay, they can afford the rent, that they have a work history, all the things that are important for a potential landlord to consider. And that if a landlord decides, because they don't have to look at someone's background, that process has to wait to the very end of the application. Then it's at that point in which an individualized assessment can take place if there's something there in the past that the tenant, the potential tenant, the potential landlord want to engage around. It provides it for a more substantive conversation around that person's past and the context of what happened during that time, especially because we know that there's been a great deal of effort for individuals who have experienced this criminal system to actually be rehabilitated. And so people's lives have been transformed and changed over time. And we believe in this ordinance that a look back period, no more than 3 years, is a reasonable time for individuals to be able to demonstrate.
So when you say a look back period of no more than 3 years, just explain what that means exactly.
So what the ordinance does, and this is the part that we're really proud of, it's a very bold approach towards no longer criminalizing individuals for their past transgressions, that this ordinance prohibits any type of look back of someone's conviction past 3 years. And that's a big deal for us because, unfortunately, individuals who've had criminal pasts, because in many cases their economic situation is what has been criminalized the most, because we know that Black and brown folks, particularly poor people, have had really bad experiences with the criminal system and they've been unjustly targeted. By preventing landlords from looking beyond 3 years, it really places our county in a position to create opportunities for families who have demonstrated that they're prepared and ready to live a lifestyle that speaks to their transformation.
What's the enforcement mechanism in this amendment?
So we do have something at the county level. It's the Human Rights Commission that in the event that a potential tenant believes that this a potential landlord was in violation of the law, there is a mechanism in place that allows a grievance to be filed with the Human Rights Commission. What we've seen, though, over the years, very few incidents actually arrive in front of the Human Rights Commission. So we're very confident that because there was a coalition of not just advocates to reform our justice system or housing advocates, there were landlords that were in support of this ordinance. And many of them were already doing this type of work anyhow. So we're pretty confident that throughout Cook County, we're going to see an opportunity for families who have been denied housing for way too long have access to stability.
Mm. And do all crimes fall under that three-year look-back umbrella, including, say, sex crimes?
With the exception of the sex crimes. But it's important to note that, particularly in the First District, where I represent on the west side of Chicago, the western suburbs, over 3,300 families are returning to my district every single year who are coming out of jail. Half of them are women. 80% of them are parents. And so when we think about the homelessness that exists within our public school system, particularly in Chicago, where almost 20,000 homeless students, we believe there's a direct correlation between homelessness within our public schools and the lack of housing that's not available for individuals who have a criminal past. And so this is going to touch hundreds of thousands of families It's going to provide protection for over a million people. This is a big deal for Cook County, and we're glad to be in a position with the coalition to bring about the type of bold, transformational, progressive policies that I ran on and now we're governing on.
Could a landlord still deny housing to someone because of their criminal background as long as they screen the applicant for other eligibility factors first?
They can. And so, and I think that's why it was important for us to have the input from the industry, people who actually provide housing, the landlords. So in the event that they do not want to rent to someone, there's a process that they have to go through. It's not overly arduous, but there is a process that they have to go through in order to provide just some explanation of why they're denying someone housing.
Now, the ordinance says landlords should offer prospective tenants the opportunity to provide context for any criminal history they may have. But some landlords have questions about how they're supposed to make sense of that information. Any guidance there?
Landlords do that anyways. I mean, look, you know, I don't think there's never been a time in which I've rented in the city of Chicago and Cook County where I didn't have an opportunity to have a conversation with our landlord from our work history to my previous living conditions or arrangement. That process happens anyways. This actually puts, it places the potential landlord and tenant in a position to develop a relationship from the onset so that there is some clear understanding and guidance of how their relationship can move forward. And there are other folks, of course, part of this panel that can speak to that in a very candid way. But again, I feel especially emboldened, particularly for those who live in my district. These families live in our district anyway. They're living on relatives' couches. They're living in basements. And now they can come out from the shadows of the stigma of having this past to actually create and have real opportunity for stabilization in our neighborhoods.
Are you at all concerned about there being a potential backdoor to this ordinance in that, you know, instead of having a criminal background check, just putting that away altogether, but instead making credit checks or prior employment checks more stringent?
Well, you know, one of the things that, I do feel really good about with this particular ordinance, that we actually provided some provision within this ordinance to have a quarterly report and a yearly report on how this ordinance is impacting Cook County. And so if there are some trends that, as you indicated, that if there are some trends that, you know, we see that are nefarious and there are other ways in which the ghost of Jim Crow looks to haunt our county again by making it impossible or making it very difficult for families to access housing, the leadership that I provided at the county level, we will do whatever is necessary to ensure that families in Cook County have an opportunity to secure housing. And this is especially important for Black and brown communities that have been criminalized by a racist system that continues to stigmatize individuals just simply because we're living in poverty.
That's Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson, and we're talking about a new ordinance that has just taken effect in Cook County. The Just Housing Ordinance aims to provide protections for people with arrest records by limiting how much landlords can ask about a potential tenant's criminal history. And I want to bring two more voices into this conversation. Amadou Dramé is the Director of Policy, Advocacy, and Legislative Affairs at the SAFER Foundation. That's an advocacy group and provider of services to people with criminal records. And also with us is Maria Moon. She's a housing justice organizer with the Chicago Area Fair Housing Alliance. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
So, Amadou, I want to come to you first and ask you about the services that people with records need, particularly when it comes to housing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the research tells us that for individuals that have arrest and conviction records, that they face disproportionately high rates of unemployment. The unemployment rate at the height of the Great Depression was 27%. And every day for people with arrest and conviction records, they face a 27% unemployment rate. The research and narratives of folks with lived experience also tell us that they face disproportionately high rates of housing discrimination. I think somewhere around 50% of all people who are homeless in the city of Chicago have an arrest or conviction record of some sort. And so those are two areas where we see an extreme set of circumstances and barriers to being able to access both housing and employment opportunities for folks with records. They tend to also be screened out of and basically written out of opportunities for to acquire education and health services healthcare, things of that nature. So all of the basic human needs, you know, mm-hmm. that folks need to sustain themselves and to live a decent life. Unfortunately, for folks with records, they tend to be out of reach.
And Maria, in terms of direct guidance or financial support, can you talk a little bit about what kinds of services are needed in that area?
As far as financial support?
Financial support and just guidance about filling out an application or how to navigate the housing market in Chicago.
Yes. So right now we're in the process of planning our strategy as far as implementation. And a part of that process would be to educate people that are directly impacted by the criminal system. Also, I would like to say that a lot of people who are impacted directly may not be connected to an organization, an institution, a program, a lot of times because of the historical distrust between the people in community and organizations, right? The power dynamics. So I believe in grassroots organizing, actually going to the blocks, going to the corners, going on the streets, and educating. So that's one tool that we will be using. We are also, as far as Chicago Area Fair Housing Alliance, we are going to be hiring 6 people who are directly impacted to assist with that, which I am so glad about because I myself am personally impacted also by the criminal system. Also, connecting with the organizations that serve people that are directly impacted, such as SAFER and other awesome organizations like Growing Home, which is an urban farm in Inglewood. So it's just about educating. We're presenting Know Your Rights presentations, one-on-ones with people. We also are going to do storytelling workshops. Right now, we're in the middle of building a speakers bureau also so that people can be comfortable with talking about their past.
Well, you mentioned you have a personal history.
Yes,
when it comes to trying to find housing with a record. What was that experience like for you?
Traumatic. As a woman, especially, it's traumatic for anyone, human being, period, because housing is a human right, you know. But specifically as a woman, it's it puts us in a very vulnerable position. I had the first couple years I was basically couch surfing or living out of my vehicle. I actually purchased a vehicle for the purpose of placing my belongings, keeping all of my belongings. I remember going downtown. I was going to an agency to see if they can help me somehow with housing. Me and a colleague of mine, I used to work for Cabrini Green Legal Aid, and one of my colleagues was with me. And when we opened up my trunk, all of my personal documents, I mean, birth certificate, personal belongings just started blowing out of the car, I was so embarrassed and just so humiliated. It was like my life was inside of a trunk of a car, you know, as a woman. And it's really been rough because once a person does their time, it's as if we have been sentenced to do a life sentence. And what we call it is civil punishment, a civil death, shall I say. Which means we are still separated from the resources that could actually help us to become productive citizens of this society.
Well, I'm going to do this ordinance. It went through a lot of debate, almost a half dozen iterations. What were the major wins for you as someone who's working in this space?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's important to situate this in the proper context. In the state of Illinois, we have 4.1 working age adults who have an arrest or conviction record. In Cook County, we have over 1 million people who have an arrest or conviction record. And some of the major wins, frankly, is that we have the primary win being that we actually have housing protections in there for the overwhelming majority of those individuals. Fundamentally, this ordinance is about, you know, righting the wrongs of Chicago and Cook County's shared legacies of housing discrimination against people who are black and brown, who are low income, who oftentimes are challenged by mental health challenges. And oftentimes the arrest or conviction record is used as a proxy. So we have these protections in place to kind of protect them. There are a couple specific things that are in the ordinance that I just want to lift up, if that's okay. And I think these are truly wins. One is what the process actually is. I know that sometimes in the heat of the legislative process, going back and forth, I think we call it legislative ping pong, when we were kind of going back and forth between the different county buildings, one that nobody ever knew really existed over on Washington and City Hall. We spent a lot of time like really trying to get the process right. But what does this process really look like? So the first step in the process is that before asking about a person's background, before an individual actually submits an application, a housing provider has to provide them with their tenant screening criteria. So Jen, earlier you asked a question about how do we avoid instances where, you know, housing providers are sort of moving the goalposts or using a different set of criteria to evaluate people when they're applying for housing. Well, they have to provide that criteria up front for everybody.
So there's a very clear standard about what people are expected to meet.
Correct.
And then the second?
And I think it's important to note that they have the autonomy to determine what that is, but it has to be within the confines of the constraints of what this ordinance provides. The second is, so that's kind of step zero. Step one in the process is, an individual submits an application and they're evaluated based upon, as Commissioner Johnson stated, their ability to afford the unit. And, you know, credit score is a part of that. Whatever their standard is, it just needs to be consistent for everybody else, for everybody across the board. Now, if that individual kind of clears that threshold, they move on to the second step, which is the background check. If something comes up in the background check and it is 3 years older or it is 3 years old or less, if that individual has one of the convictions that are banned from basically federally subsidized housing entirely, which are people who produce meth on public property, and individuals who are on public registries or also, you know, individuals that have sex offenses, they are excluded. But if something comes up within those 3 years and it's not one of those two categories of convictions, then the housing provider has the opportunity to just accept them and just say, hey, I don't really care about this, or ask the individual to provide additional information. And at that point, a person can provide some mitigating information.
So we're going to have to wrap here in just about a minute. But Commissioner, I wanted to turn to you again, because you said you'll be doing a check about every quarter on how the ordinance is working, how it's rolling out. But for people listening, we got a call. We don't have time to take him on the air. Kenny from Lakeview, he says he's an ex-offender and he disagrees with the ordinance because extra consideration shouldn't be given to people who, quote, can't get their stuff together. What do you say to people about the importance of this ordinance in providing stability for people who are returning to community?
Yeah, the vast majority of individuals, you know, who are returning back to our communities, they return to the communities in which they were raised in. So they're here anyways. And the one of the ways in which we can actually stabilize our communities to prevent people from moving into a lifestyle that can cause havoc in the community is you have to stabilize that community. Housing, jobs, and of course, making sure that there is absolute, you know, protection in those communities. And so, you know, I'm encouraged by this. You know, it was passed with overwhelming support, and we're looking forward to more bold transformational ideas in the coming year.
That's Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson. Also with us this morning, Maria Moon with the Chicago Area Fair Housing Alliance, and Amadou Drame with the Safer Foundation. Thanks to you all for speaking with us.
Thanks for having us.